Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 86, Chapter entitled Arjuna Kidnaps Subhadra, text number 24. Yeah, it's 24. The Sanskrit's 24. Swanugrahaya Sampraptam Manvano Tam Jagadgurum Maitila Shutadevash Cha Padayo Petatu Prapo Swanugrahaya Sampraptam Manvano Tam Jagadgurum Maitila Shutadevascha Padayo Peta Tu Prapo Swanugrahaya Sampraptam Manvano Tam Jagadgurum Maitila Shutadevascha Padayo Peta Tu Prapo Swanugrahaya Sampraptam Maitila Shutadevascha. It's the wrong line, huh? Manvano Jam. Start again. Swanugrahaya Sampraptam. Manvano Tam Jagadgurum. Maitila Shutadevascha. Padayo Peta Tu Prapo. To himself. Anugrahaya. For showing mercy. Sampraptam. Now. Manvano. Both thinking. Tam. Him. Jagat of the universe. Gurum, the spiritual master. Maitila, the king of Mitila. Shutadeva, Shutadev. Cha, and Padayo, at the feet. Peta tu fell. Prabhu of the Lord. Translation and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Both the king of Mitila and Shrutadev fell at the Lord's feet, each thinking that the spiritual master of the universe had come to there just to show him mercy. Translation responsibly. Both the king of Mitila and Shutadev fell at the lotus feet. Fell at the Lord's feet. Each thinking that the spiritual master of the universe had come there just to show him mercy. 25. At exactly the same time, King Maitila and Shutadev each went forward with joined palms and invited the Lord to the Lord of the Dashahas to be his guest, along with the Brahmana sages. Text 26. Wanting to please them both, the Lord accepted both their invitations. Thus he simultaneously went to both homes, and neither could see him entering the other's house. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Krishna visited Shrutadev and Bahulashwa at the same time by manifesting himself in duplicate forms, along with the sages. Thus, King Bahulashwa thought that Lord Krishna had come only to his house, leaving Shrutadev to return home disappointed, while Shrutadev believed that just the reverse was the case. In Krishna, Srila Prabhupada remarks that Lord Krishna and his companions were present in both houses, although both the Brahmana and the king thought he was present in his house only. Although both the Brahmana and the king thought he was present in his house only is another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This opulence is described in the revealed scriptures as Vaibhav Prakash. Similarly, when Lord Krishna married 16,000 wives, he also expanded himself into 16,000 forms, each one of them as powerful as he himself. Similarly, in Vrindavan, when Brahma stole away Krishna's cows, calves and cowherd boys, Krishna expanded himself into many new cows, calves and cowherd boys. Omagyan timadandashya ginanjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swabhadantikam vancha kaupata rubyascha kripa sindhu bhya evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, this is Krishna's opulence. It's called Vaibhav. What does Vaibhava mean?
Opulence?
Yeah, it means opulence. It means show of great power, majesty, opulence, like that. So, Vaibhava. So, therefore, Krishna is known as Vipu. And Vipu means one who possesses Vaibhava. We say that Krishna is Vipu. Vipu means extremely large or opulent, powerful. God is Vipu. Means he has all Vaibhav. The Jiva is Anu. Anu means tiny or insignificant. You are insignificant. This is a hard point to accept. Because our philosophy is not only are we the servant of God, servant of Krishna, which is poisonous for the conditioned soul to hear. Yeah, you go out into the world and you say, you are the servant of God. And you are the servant of Krishna. Like that. People do not like to hear it. It grates upon the ear. It is like going against the grain. Very difficult for people to accept, I am servant. But our philosophy takes everything a step further, as it always does. Our philosophy says you are not only the servant, you are the insignificant servant. You are insignificant. Right? That's fantastic. that just smashes the false ego. That's very difficult for us to accept, for us to hear. Not only are you servant, you are insignificant servant. That psychologically, that's very difficult to accept. That's why we have so much trouble surrendering to Krishna. The reason we find it difficult to surrender to Krishna is because of false ego. It is false ego. And what is false ego? False ego is not, I am not insignificant, right? I am significant. And I'll prove it to you that I am significant. If you do not believe me, I'll show you how significant I am. Right? That's our psychology, right? I'm not servant, right? Even though I go around and I say I'm servant. You know, I go around and I fold my hands and I... that, you know, I am servant. No. But the psychology is not actually servant. The psychology is actually enjoyer, very much. Mm. It is mixed. It's not that we're totally demoniac, but we have to admit there is a lot of enjoying spirit there. Mm. Therefore, Prabhupada says you have to call all the devotees Prabhu. Prabhu means master. Mm. Prabhupada said, all the devotees are Prabhus and I am Prabhupada, which means I am the guru that all the Prabhus, all the masters, they sit at his feet. Prabhupada could say things like this without ego. Prabhupada says these things. When we say it, it is ego. When Prabhupada says it, it is devoid of ego. Like that. Prabhupada was just stating facts or reality like that. But he says that we address everyone else as Prabhu. Why? Because we have to understand that we are the servant. But we like to... a lot of our psychology, or a lot of our false ego or contamination is that we like to think we are master. Right? I am the master. Right? I want to be the enjoyer. And I am not insignificant, I am significant. Everyone should recognize me. Right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the most, out of all the weeds that grow in the heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this example that Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagyavana Jiva, Guru, Krishna, Prasadhe Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Bija. Bhakti Lata means the creeper of devotion. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This example is given, I think, in the teachings to Rupa Goswami. Then Lord Chaitanya gives this example of the Bhakti Lata. Bhakti Lata means, what does it mean? Creeper of devotion. Bhakti Lata. All right? Creeper of devotion. Mm? But whenever there's a creeper trying to grow, there's also weeds which try to grow simultaneously. All right? Now, there are many weeds which are mentioned, but of all the weeds, the most significant, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is Pratishtha. Mm? Pratishtha means the desire to be distinguished. The desire to be recognized. The desire to be prominent. That's the most powerful weed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is the hardest one to pull out. Right? And this is the one, the example is given in the analogy that the weeds sometimes look like the creeper and sometimes the inexperienced devotee or gardener, he confuses the weeds for the creeper. So sometimes we're becoming prominent due to making advancement in Krishna consciousness. We make advancement, we become more prominent amongst the circle of devotees. And then we mistake the weed to be the creeper of devotion. So instead of understanding that the reason that we're attaining some material success is because of bhakti, right? We begin to water the weed more. And then that becomes the prominent thing in our consciousness. The prominent thing becomes that I want to keep attaining recognition. Right? And then you get more and more recognition. Right? As you advance more as a devotee, everyone recognizes you more. The other devotees recognize you more. You become more advanced, more advanced, more advanced. More devotees recognize you. But then you become attached to the recognition. And that becomes your driving force. Right, and then that keeps going, and then you think you're making so much advancement, and you are making advancement to a certain extent, but the weed's growing all the way up as well. And it becomes a very powerful, very high, strong weed. Right? Mm-hmm. And then Krishna humbles you, as he always does. Right? You become very significant, right? And then Krishna shows you, you are my servant. Did you forget? You're thinking you are Prabhu. But did you forget that you were my servant? And not only are you my servant, you're my insignificant servant. So Krishna makes you insignificant. Right? Right? Everyone's recognizing you, and then Krishna just goes, right? Pulls the carpet out from under your feet, right? And then nothing is left. Mm. That's a really special feeling when Krishna does that. Huh? Anyone know what I'm talking about here tonight?
Yep.
Anyone been through this one? Like that. Right, that's what makes our God special. All gods do this. Doesn't matter which God you've got. He does this. But our God, our understanding of God, is even more profound, and he does it more to us, it would seem, than to the other practitioners. He does it to us all the time. Whenever we start to think we're significant, he just says, you are not significant. You are insignificant. You have to understand this point. You are insignificant. Anu means very small, right? Anu also means to follow, right? We are followers, right? We're not leaders in the true sense. Everyone's a leader. Everyone's a leader. Every soul has the propensity to lead, but in reality, we're just followers. The leaders are the great souls, right? We say, well, I'm a leader, right? You know, I'm this or I'm that. I'm the Sankirtan leader, or I'm the, you know, temple president, or I'm this or I'm that. But factually speaking, every jiva is just an anu. He is just a follower. The fact is that the real leader is the significant souls, the great souls. They are the real leaders. We are all following. Doesn't matter how prominent you become, how distinguished you become, how recognized you become, how much responsibility you get, right? How much power you get, still you are a follower. That's the point. That is called anu, right? And that is the constitutional position of the jiva. And when we get into that consciousness, right, our reciprocation for Krishna becomes very sweet. When we think we are the enjoyer, even while we're serving Krishna, we may be doing a lot of service for Krishna, but we think we are the enjoyer, right? We're enjoying the fruits of the service. You know, we're offering them to Krishna, but we're also very much in the mood of I'm enjoying them also. So, as long as we have this kind of consciousness that I am the enjoyer, Krishna does not reciprocate as readily. Yeyata mam prapanchante tamstatayva bhajamyaham. Because you're motivated, then I cannot reciprocate with you as much as I would desire. So Krishna cannot give you as much reciprocation, and therefore you don't get as much taste. But when you surrender to Krishna and you get very much in this mood that I am the follower and I am an insignificant servant, and this service I am doing is for Krishna's pleasure, then you get so much reciprocation from Krishna, right? And then you get something very sweet, which you cannot find anywhere in this material world, right? And it is that sweetness which keeps you out of the material world, which attracts you away from the material world, right? Renunciation is not enough. Just like you can renounce, you can say, well, I've renounced this material world, right? From this day on, I'm not going to have any more sense gratification. Right? How many times have you woken up and said that in the morning? Right? How many times did you wake up and say, right, that's it? No more sense gratification. Finished. Now I'm just going to surrender to Krishna. Right? And you get to about 11 o'clock in the morning. And then your vow is broken. So what to do? Start again. Like that. But it doesn't work. So the only way we can actually overcome our attachment in this material world is to get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 2:59, "Param dvishtva nivartate." This is one of the most significant points that is in our philosophy and that Krishna makes in the Bhagavad Gita. That to overcome the lower taste or attachment to this material energy, you must get a higher taste. Our philosophy is not one of renunciation in and of itself. There are some other spiritual disciplines and so forth where the emphasis is very much on renunciation, right? I must renounce. I must give up, like that. That is not really our philosophy. Our philosophy is you must give up the lower thing by accepting the higher thing. And the higher thing is the sweetness of the reciprocation from Krishna. Right? It's receiving reciprocation from Krishna through our service. And that reciprocation is what allows us to give up all the lower things in this material world. Otherwise, it is not possible to give up the lower things in this material world, factually speaking. like that. You'll go back again. And Prabhupada makes this point, right? The Mayavadis or the impersonalists, they may even go to Brahman, to the Brahma Jyoti, but they come back again. Lord Brahma says in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, this is like beating empty husks of rice. Right? Someone came along and beat all the rice, right, and got all the rice out of the husk and left all the husk behind, like the outer shell. And then you come along and then you beat the empty husk. Right? So you're beating and beating. What are you doing? Right? There's nothing. You know, you're not going to get anything out of that activity. So that's what it's like being an impersonalist. You might go all the way to the Brahma Jyoti, which takes a lot of work, right, a lot of effort. You go to the Brahma Jyoti, and then you just come back again. So what was the whole point? Why did you waste all that energy? Whereas with Krishna consciousness, it is factually the true path of religion for the soul. It is the Sanatana Dharma of the soul. Because if you serve Krishna and you get that higher taste, that will take you all the way back to a place where you do not have to come back again. The Param Gati. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, that he says three or four times. He says, once you return to my abode, you do not have to come back again. And Reviti Nandan Swami at the time, he said to Srila Prabhupada one time, he said, Prabhupada, what about this point that it says that we go back, Krishna says in the Gita, if we go back to the spiritual world, we don't have to return again. And then he said, but the jiva always has independence. So isn't it true that the jiva could come back again into the material world? And Prabhupada thought about it and he said, yes, it is true. He said, you could do it. But then Prabhupada said, once burned, twice shy. You go into the spiritual world, if and when we get back to the spiritual world, then if we ever think of coming here again, then Krishna will give you darshan of what you had last time. Right? Repeat of birth and death for like millions of births. Right? Do you want that again? Right? Better you just make my garland. Better you just surrender to me. You want to go back again? Right? This is what it means. Right? And then like that. So this is the nature of... So in order to surrender to Krishna, we have to get that superior taste. So it means that the jiva is anu. The jiva is follower. He is not vipu. He is not great. He is insignificant. He is follower. The devotees must always feel that we are the follower of the disciplic succession. We must feel that we are always the follower of the guru. We must feel that we are the follower of our spiritual authorities, of the senior Vaishnavas. We must feel that we are the follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. We must feel that we are the follower of Radha and Krishna. That is the actual mood. That's what anu means. Anu means to follow. Now for the conditioned soul, it is very difficult to follow. Right? Hands up if you have a problem with authority. Are they? There's two things we all have in common. It's actually four things, anyway. We all have a lot of things in common. But one thing every single jiva in the material world has in common is we have a problem with authority. Right? That's why we came to the material world. Right? Because in the spiritual world, no one has a problem with authority. That's why it's harmonious there. That's why it is called Vaikuntha. That's why there's no anxiety. Interesting point. Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj, who is coming here soon, he explains this point. That whenever there is friction in any relationship, if you have any relationship with anyone in this world, any other person, and if there is friction in that relationship, it means that there is a break of etiquette. It means that there is some etiquette within that relationship which you are not following, right? Because if someone is your superior, then there is an etiquette in how you must deal with that person. If someone is your junior, there is an etiquette in how you must deal with that person. If someone's your equal, there's an etiquette in how you must deal with that person. And if there's any friction in any relationship in this world, it means that we're not acting according to the etiquette, or the other person is not acting according to the etiquette. Right? And that's what we see when there's problems with our superiors. It means our superiors are not treating us properly. or we're not respecting them properly. If someone's a junior devotee to us, and that junior devotee has a problem with us, that means we're not treating them properly, or they don't know how to respect us properly. And if we're friends with other devotees, and there's some friction in the friendship, it means that we're not reciprocating with loving exchanges with those devotees. Right? Rupa Goswami says that devotees reciprocate in six ways. Right? We reveal our mind in confidence. We inquire confidentially. We offer gifts. We receive gifts. Right? We offer prasad. We receive prasad. That's how devotees... This is called priti lakshana. This means the ways that we exchange affection or priti or love between devotees. So, if there is any friction in any relationship, that means that we or the other person are not following the etiquettes within that relationship. So the reason we have a problem with authority is because in this world we have a problem with authority. We find it difficult to follow our authority is because we do not know how to act properly towards authority. That's conditioned nature. Right? Because the nature of the soul is anu, means he always must follow. You cannot escape it. You know, we like to escape it, we like to try to escape it, but it never works. Our nature is to follow. We must follow our spiritual authority. And spiritual life is based upon this point. Right? Rupa Goswami, when he elaborates devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in Nectar of Devotion, he lists 64 items of devotion or bhakti. And what is the first of the items? Yeah, approaching the spiritual master, which is guru, pad, ashraya. Right? Ashraya means shelter. Guru pad means at the lotus feet of a spiritual master. So that inculcates, or that adol, guru pad ashraya. Rupa Goswami says adol. What does adol mean? Or adi. Beginning. Right, just like we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the Adi Lila, the Madhya Lila, the Ancha Lila. Ancha means final, Madhya means middle. Right, Adi means beginning. Right, so the beginning of spiritual life, Adol, is Guru Pad Ashraya. So Rupa Goswami is teaching us from the beginning that you must become a follower. You must subordinate yourself. That is the natural position of the jiva. That's how you will become truly happy. Right? We're all looking for happiness. You can only get happiness when you subordinate yourself to an authority. Because that's the nature of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, we are followers. And that's how we advance in Krishna consciousness, when we follow the authority. So that shows the importance of taking a position of authority. How much importance there is in someone taking a position of authority. Because when Srila Vyasadeva looked at Kali Yuga, you remember in the first canto of the Bhagavatam in the seventh chapter, he looked at Kali Yuga, right? It hadn't started, it was just beginning, right? But he looked at it, he had darshan, trikalagya, right? Trikalagya means... The sages, the rishis, the powerful sages, they can see past, they can see present, and they can see future. That's how powerful they are. They are very powerful personalities. Just like on the weekend, we were painting one of the ashrams at the farm, and it was a Mahajagya, big jagya, taking a lot of time, a lot of energy, very. But what got us through that work? The Mahabharat. We listen to the Mahabharat, right? And we listen to it. And it goes on. It's 118,000 verses. And we listen to a summary study. And we didn't even get... We got about halfway through the battle of Kurukshetra. That's how far we got. It was just going on and on and on. And one of the impressions I got from listening to it so much for 2 days, like hours, we must have listened to it for like, you know... 20, 15 hours or something like that, Mahabharata just coming into your It has an effect. Transcendental sound vibration has an effect on your consciousness. That's why Lord Chaitanya says Kirtaniya ha sada hari. That means always chant, because transcendental sound affects your consciousness. So after listening to Mahabharata for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, it was affecting our consciousness. And one of the things that I saw was that these personalities from the Mahabharata from previous ages, they were so powerful. Yeah, they were so powerful. Like Kali Yuga, there's nothing left in Kali Yuga. Right? Everyone in Kali Yuga is just an insect. Yeah, even the most powerful person is just an insect. You know? I mean, if you read the Mahabharata, these personalities were powerful. You know, Arjuna used to take a arrow, right, put it on his bow, Gandiva, and then just before he'd fire the arrow, he'd chant a mantra. Right, and the mantra would infuse upon the arrow, and then he'd fire the arrow, and the arrow would shoot and then turn into 10,000 arrows. Yeah, that's powerful. Have you seen the guys who do archery these days? Have you seen like the Olympic archery champion? Like the Olympic Games of this year, is it? This year, right, in Beijing. You look at archery this year when it comes up in Beijing, the champion, right, the gold medal archer. You look at his bow, it's got all these balances on it and all these weights on it, and he's wearing, you know, it's like the guy can't even shoot, and he's got to look at the target for about 20 minutes. Hello, shoot the arrow. You know, so. Like that's not archery. Arjuna would just go, you know, done, right? And then eye of the bird. Right? Didn't have to stand there for 20 minutes, you know. Karna, just stand to the left. Hare Baba, you move. What's that? You know. It says in the Mahabharata that there were 640 million warriors on the battlefield. And 2/3 of them were in the Kaurava army. So 2/3 means about 400 million, roughly like that, were in the Kaurava army. And it says that Arjuna killed 2/3 of them himself. So that's like 250 million warriors. He killed himself. And it says that not one of his arrows missed its target. 250 million arrows, not one missed. And it says that when he was getting really fired up, he was using one arrow to kill multiple people. He'd shoot one arrow and just go through you, and then he'd kill the guy behind you and kill the guy behind you, just take everyone out. That's power. This is the kind of personalities which were there previously. Like now we have, you know, who's the most powerful man on earth now? Right? George Bush, maybe. Probably. Yeah, probably he's the most powerful. Like, you know, it's not a, you know, where's the potency? There's no potency. All the potency is just built on machinery and, you know, I press a button here. Right, and then I can blow everyone up on earth like that. That's not potency, not compared to what was there previously. So, Vyasadeva, he was so powerful that Srila Vyasa, he looked at Kali Yuga. Tri Kalagya means he saw into the future. He saw what is Kali Yuga. And the most significant point, or one, it says in the Bhagavatam, one of the things that he saw when he looked at Kali Yuga is he said that people did not have Shraddha. What does Shraddha mean?
Faith.
That's pretty much Kali Yuga. Right? People just do not have faith. People don't believe in anyone practically anymore. Like, you know, if I say George Bush, right, everyone just smiles. There's no faith. Right? We just know there's so much hypocrisy. Right? The Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. No one has faith. Like that. That's like when we're trying to preach to people and we say, come and become a Hare Krishna devotee. They say, oh yeah, but you know, it's just another religion and all the religions, all the religions created all the wars and, you know, there's no faith in God. I mean, there's still faith. It's not there's no faith. But in Kali Yuga, there is just Shraddha or faith is just becoming less and less and less. It's so difficult for people to have faith in authority. But the spiritual life is based upon this point. It is based upon having faith in authority. And we read last night in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada quoted the Gita, And he said, Krishna says in the Gita, he says that if one does not have, for one who is a doubting soul, or one who does not have faith in authority, he is on the path of destruction. If you do not have faith in your authority, your devotional life will be destroyed. You can't do it by yourself. You know, try as we may, we can't do it by ourselves. We can't go back to the spiritual world by ourselves. We have to surrender to an authority. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says the first thing, adol guru pad ashraya. You have to take shelter of a guru. So this shows what, how important the position of becoming a spiritual authority is. Because if someone's a spiritual authority, right, everyone puts so much faith in that person, and if that person breaks the follower's faith, how much damage does that do to their spiritual life? And we see in ISKCON over the years, it was unfortunate that we had a zonal acharya system just after Prabhupada left, and when the gurus were unable to keep up their standards, some of the gurus, then how much damage it did to our society, to the devotees who were following. It's a very difficult thing. So therefore, in spiritual life, if you want to make advancement, you have to find an authority that you have faith in. Right? And you have to follow that person. And not just that person, but you have to follow many people. I remember the day that I got initiation from my spiritual master. I went up to see him in the darshan room up there. And he said to me, the day he initiated me, he said, "Don't think it is just me who will assist you in your spiritual life." He said, "Many people will help you." He said, "Don't just put all your faith in me." He said, "Develop relationships with other senior Vaishnavas because they will help you." So spiritual life is based upon this. So it means that the senior devotees have to become qualified so that people can have faith in them and that they do not break the faith, do not break the trust. And all of us are going to become spiritual authorities, hopefully. Right? Prabhupada says the world needs thousands of gurus. Right? How many people are in this room? Yeah, there's probably 40 of us here. Yeah, 30 or 40. That means all of us, to fill up that thousand spot, right? All of us have to become a spiritual authority in due course of time. We already are spiritual authorities, right? There's already people who follow us. Right? But we have to become more and more and more qualified. Right? So that people can take shelter. Because in Kali Yuga, people need shelter. And where is the shelter? Right? The only shelter I can see is in the Hare Krishna movement. That's the only place I'm going to put shelter. And the only reason I put my faith here is because I see there are qualified personalities to take shelter of. So we have to become more qualified personalities. Now, how do you become a qualified personality? You have to understand you are a follower. If you think you're the master, immediately. Prabhupada said, as soon as you think you're exalted, you become fallen. Right? As soon as you think you're advanced, you fall down. Right? So the way that we actually become advanced in Krishna consciousness, or the way we can actually give shelter to others, is that we have to understand that we are followers. And the more we become a follower, then the more people will have faith to follow us. And we saw who was the principal example of following within ISKCON, right? It was Prabhupada himself. Whenever Prabhupada was given credit, well, what did he do? Right? He would give the credit to his Guru Maharaj. Whenever Prabhupada was given credit, he'd say, "This is the mercy of my Guru Maharaj." He said that all of my disciples are being sent by Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. He didn't accept that success was happening because of him. Right? That is a follower. That is a perfect follower. A perfect follower becomes a perfect guru. Right? You have to become first a perfect servant, then you can become a perfect acharya. Acharya means one who sets the example. Right? So you only become an acharya, you only become someone who other people will follow when they see that you are a perfect follower yourself. That is spiritual life. That's how we make advancement. That is our constitutional position. You can't get back to the spiritual world, right, and then say to Krishna, "Well, Krishna, this is my resume, and I've done a lot of service down there on earth, So I'm applying for one of the top positions. You know, I would like to become an. You know, I can't become Radharani. That's just too. That's too popular. So I would like to become an Ashtasakhi. Because I'm very, you know, I did a lot of so. I'm pretty, you know, I'm humble, but I'm pretty good. You know, I'd like to become an Ashtasakhi. So Krishna will say, that's already, the position's already taken up. Ashtasakhi's there eternally. Right? The Ashtasakhi's, the eight principal gopis that you see in Mayapur, each one of them has a principal follower also. That's who the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are. Right, they're the principal followers of the Ashtasakhis, of the principal gopis. So although even the secretaries or the first assistants of the principal devotees in the spiritual world, even those positions are taken up. So then what are we? Right, that's why our philosophy is you are insignificant. Right? Dasa, 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 anu, dasa. Gopi, pada, kamala, Lord Chaitanya teaches us, gopi, pada, kamalayo, dasa, dasa, anu, dasa. We are the servant of the servant of the servant, Prabhupada says, 1,000 times removed of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis. Just like I was listening yesterday to Radhana Swami, who is a perfect servant of Srila Prabhupada. Once again, you see someone who's a perfect servant, right, of his guru, is attracting so many others to follow him. I was listening to Maharaj on his one of his Navadvip Mandal Parikrams, and he was telling the story of her name was Duki. She was one of the assistants or one of the maid servants in the house of Srivas Pandit. So what happened is Lord Chaitanya came into the Srivas Thakur's house one day, and normally he would come into the house and he would say, begin kirtan. So he would come in and then everyone would begin kirtan, and they would lock the doors, all the devotees would come in and they would do nocturnal kirtan, all night kirtan, famous kirtans, which were spoken of in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat and so forth. So Lord Chaitanya, normally he would come in and say, let's do kirtan. And then they would do kirtan for hours. And during those kirtans, Lord Chaitanya would go into many moods or many bhavs. Right? He would go into many different moods. Sometimes he'd become like Nisringadev. Right? And he'd start looking at all the devotees, like, angry. Right? And all the devotees would run. Everyone would run and hide behind the pillars, and, you know. And Lord Chaitanya would just be like, you know, he just went into this mood. Right? And then that mood would, he'd come out of that mood, and then sometimes he'd go into the mood of Lord Balaram. And he'd say, bring me wine. Bring me Varuni. Right? He'd just be intoxicated. And devotees would say, what does he want? He wants wine. You know? Wine means Lord Balaram drinks honey, like that. But he was saying, he was mad. He was in the mood of Lord Balaram. He's saying, bring me wine. So devotees are just, you know, so they go and grab water pots, and they bring water pots full of water, and he'd just take the water and he'd drink it. Right? And then he'd just look at all of them intoxicated, you know, because he's drinking wine. You know, he's just like, and then he'd put the pot down like that. So he'd go into all these different moods. Sometimes he would go into the threefold bending form, right? And he'd turn into the threefold bending form, and he'd just stand there for 3 hours. Right? And all the devotees would worship him, keep doing kirtan and worship. He'd just go into these ecstasies. Right? So then one day he came into the kirtan before the kirtan had even begun. He came in the beginning of the evening before they'd even begun kirtan. And he went and sat on the altar, right, where the deities were. He went and sat on the altar, sat on the simasan, and he said, worship me. And normally he wouldn't go into that mood. Normally he'd be in the mood of being the bhakta avatar, being the incarnation of the devotee. But then he said, everyone worship me. So then Mahaprakash Lila began. Right? And everyone came and began to worship him. Right? All the devotees began to worship him. And he began to reveal each devotee's position in Krishna Lila or in Ram Lila. So devotees came and they began to worship him. And he was sitting there. And he was going into the ecstasy of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? And Advaitacharya and Srivas Pandit and all the other devotees, they were bringing thousands of pots of Ganga Jal, of water from the Ganges, and Nityananda Prabhu was bathing him. Right? Nityananda Prabhu was picking up and doing Maha Abhishek. Right? Thousands of pots. Just like when we do a big Abhishek, we worship the deity with 108 pots of water, Ganga Jal. Right? We get 108 pots. Lord Chaitanya was having thousands of pots of water. He was just sitting there, he was just enjoying the mood of being the Supreme Lord. And Lord Nityananda was bathing, and all the devotees were running. So there was one devotee in the distance, her name was Duki. She was a maidservant in the house of Srivas Thakur. And she was arranging the pots very nicely, right? Making them all in nice rows and everything, so that when the devotees would come and pick up the pots, and then they'd take them to bathe the Lord, to give them Nityananda to bathe the Lord. So she was being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, right? And she was keeping herself at a distance, right? Not trying to look for any pratishta or any recognition. And all the pots were being brought in from outside, and she was lining them up all very nicely. And Lord Chaitanya noticed her amongst, you know, all of his associates were there, like so many significant personalities. The Panchatattva were there, right? And Mukunda Das, right? And Dhamma, and like so many of his exalted devotees. But then he looked through and he saw there was one insignificant devotee, and he saw how much devotion she had, right? And how much she was doing her service in the mood of pure devotion. So then he blessed her. He said, her name from today, because her name was Duki. Duki means like unfortunate or unhappy. He said, from today her name will be Suki. She'll be supremely auspicious. So he gave her a benediction like that. So this is the mood that we need to develop as devotees. Not trying to be significant devotees. Even though we may have significant service. Even though we may be taking a position of leadership on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on behalf of ISKCON and Prabhupada, but to always feel ourselves internally as being the follower, as being the servant of the servant of the servant of the spiritual master. Right? Now that is how we become like that. So therefore it is said that we should become Anu. We should become followers and we should become insignificant. Not trying to take this mood of being Prabhu or being the master or Vibhu or being the great one who is recognized. This is the actual mood of the Vaishnavas, not to break that mood. So we'll stop there and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yeah, so it just means being natural. It just means being a servant. You know, the mood. I mean, what are people attracted by when they come to our temple or come to our preaching centre? They're attracted by the personalism of the devotees. The devotees care about them so much, and they're so personal, and that they're in the mood of being a servant. So, devotee, we don't have to say things like "I'm insignificant." They won't understand those things. You don't understand those things till you become a devotee. And then you have to have these things taught to you, you know, because there's like a deeper understanding. But initially, people are just interested or they're just attracted by personal exchanges with the devotees. That's why we became devotees ourselves, because the devotees treated us so personally. So we just have to get that mood like that. Any other question or comment?
Just wondering, Vaishu Sastika says, "I don't have any number of followers. Movement can't exist without people, but yet I thought the idea was that gurus didn't have more than 12 disciples. Somebody told me, I don't know if that's true, but a lot of people do have a lot of followers. So I was just wondering if you'd comment.
Yeah, so it means Lord Chaitanya says na danam, na janam, na sundarim kavitam. So that means we should not want profit, adoration or distinction. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains when he comments on the Shikshastika, he says it's not that the devotee doesn't have these things, but what is given up is the desire for these things. So in order for the movement to spread, then you have to accept disciples. Mm-hmm. We have to accept, even we may not accept disciples, but it means that in order for the movement to spread, we have to give shelter to people. Mm-hmm. We have to form relationships, and so many people come to us and they take shelter of us, they have faith in us. So we have to nurture them and protect their faith like that, and deal with them in such a way that they can advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's our mood. And then in due course of time, some devotees will have to take disciples. That will be their seva, their service to their guru. Like that. But it's not that they want the mood of a pure devotee or the mood of a proper Vaishnava is not that he wants followers. What he wants to do is to help people come to Krishna. It's not that he wants followers, but he wants to help people to come to Krishna. So in order to facilitate that, then he may have to accept followers and so forth like that. But that's his service. He always sees that as his, that is his service towards his spiritual master. That's so. And I haven't heard that devotees should only accept 12. I haven't heard. Prabhupada told Jayapataka Swami he should have 10,000 disciples. And I think he's almost there. How many is he got? 7,000 or 8,000, I think. Not there. Almost 10. So, any other question or comment? Speak. Yeah, so someone is an impersonalist, then how do we cultivate that person? Because they're coming towards Krishna consciousness, like that. There's one letter, I think it is, where Prabhupada is talking about university preaching, and he says that when you're preaching to the students, he says, don't smash them. You know, don't just smash them, but he says, listen to them, and agree with them. You know, they'll say, oh, you know, because people say, oh, I'm into this, I'm into that. So you just listen to them, you say, oh, that's very nice. Prabhupada said, listen to them, agree with them, but then present Krishna consciousness. So you say, yeah, listen to them and say, oh, that's nice. And you say, this is what we're into. Like that. And then, when it comes to impersonalism, then we just have to present that it makes more sense, and it's more natural, and it's more blissful to understand that God is a person. Because that is the absolute truth is made of Satchit Ananda, eternality, knowledge and bliss. But on the impersonal level, when you just relating with Brahman, the Brahman feature of the absolute truth, the impersonal feature, all you're experiencing is eternality. Right? And then with Paramatma, you experience eternality and knowledge. And then with the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, then you experience eternality, knowledge and bliss. So we just say to them that the reason we worship God as a person is because it's blissful. It's far more blissful. And if they can see that we have something higher, that's how we become attracted to become a devotee ourselves, because we see the devotees have got something. So, you know, the other impersonalists, they may have something. You know, you go to some impersonalist place and you see, you know, like the Dalai Lama or, you know, so many different personalities, they have something. That's why people are attracted to them. But then when you come to, when you associate with a Vaishnava, right, then you see this person has something more. So if we preach to them that, you know, this is what we're into, not so much smashing them, but just preaching this is what we're into, and this is why we believe God is a person, and this is why it's a, we think it's the complete realization, they see that we've got something, then, like that. And give them prasadam, and give them the holy name, and that will purify the consciousness so that they can understand philosophy. Like that. Is that okay? Just wait a second, help me. No, give them the holy main name means let them come to kirtan. They don't have to start chanting japa. Just let them come to kirtan. Give them the holy name means they come to kirtan, they take prasadam. And it purifies their consciousness gradually, gradually. You see how Prabhupada began the movement in 66 in 26 Second Avenue, right? Kirtan, right? Then he'd speak something, Bhagavad Gita, right? And then prasad. Gradually they became attracted. There's even one letter where Prabhupada says, when I started the movement, he said they did not come for the kirtan or the philosophy. He said they came for the prasad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Sunday feast back in 66, Prabhupada cooked it, right, and there was something like 12 preparations, 12 different types of, you know, sabjis and pakoras and chutney and halva, and Prabhupada would cook like 12 different things. And then Prabhupada would cook it, right? And then Prabhupada would lead the kirtan, give the class, serve out the prasadam, and then when everyone left, he would clean everything up. Yeah, and that's how ISKCON began. Right. Powerful. So, is that okay? No, our philosophy is that we only look at one person in the creation as insignificant. Our philosophy is that we only look at one person in the whole creation, right? We only look at one person as insignificant. Us. There's only one person who's insignificant. We don't look at anyone else. Yeah. We don't look at anyone else as insignificant.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't look at any other devotee as insignificant, right? Because
that's the mood we should have with ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah. That is enlightenment. Like that. That's our philosophy. Like that. Only one person is insignificant. Everyone else is significant. Just like if any of these one devotees leaves the temple, right, that's very significant, because then we've lost that person's service to Krishna, right? And we need as many devotees, like we've got this many devotees and more, and we're struggling just to maintain, you know, the preaching and the deity worship and, you know, the temple, just with the amount of devotees we've got now. So if one person leaves, that's very, very significant that we lose their contribution. So we never see any devotee as insignificant. You know, we see every devotee is very significant because every devotee can do so much service for Krishna. But one person we say is insignificant is us, because we're insignificant. Our contribution is not very great. That's it. Any other question or comment? Yeah, never in
relation. But as you point out, the interesting thing is that Krishna treats us all individually as if we're very special and important.
Mm.
So, you know, we may be insignificant in the whole scheme of things. You know, like individually, just that, like I said, Anu, really small, but still Krishna treats us all as if, you know, he treats us personally.
Mm.
So in that way, you know, we respect and honour still.
Hello.
When I'm in relationship with the spiritual master, sometimes the spiritual master might not say or take things away like I might just because they see that they're not ready. But how can one be more ready, or like how can one place oneself to get the spiritual master to, if one needs to proceed quicker?
I don't understand.
How can one be more or like develop that relationship with a spiritual master and be ready to take whatever he says?
Well, that's the whole process of devotion and surrender. That's what it means. It means you have to gradually surrender more. You advance the more you surrender. That's why Krishna says at the end of the Gita, he says, Savadaman Parijaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Sharanam means surrender. Right? Krishna says, just surrender unto me. Savadaman. Sava means everything. Let go of everything else. Right? And just surrender to me. So that means that's what we're aiming for. And we advance. Each time we make advancement or we go closer to Krishna means we surrendered more. Right? I let go of my personal desires. I let go of my sense gratification so that I could please Krishna. That's how we advance as a devotee. Like that. So you have to just develop that mood more and more. That in your heart, your innermost desire is to give pleasure to your spiritual master. And when the spiritual master detects or he sees that mood in the disciple, then he blesses the disciple so much. So you have to develop that mood. Right? And when the guru sees you have that mood, then yeah. The guru's blessings are always there. But the more you surrender, then the more mercy you get. Is that what you answer? Any other points? The other two are Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami is the spiritual master of Narottama Das Thakur, and he was one of the associates of the six Goswamis. So those eight are the followers of the principal Manjaris, or the principal maidservants of the Ashtasakhis. Yeah, Lokanath Goswami. You know, every morning we see Lokanatha, Lokira, Jivana. That song's written by Narottama Das Thakur. So he's saying Lokanath, his guru, Lokanath, Lokira, Jivana. Like that. Which that line means. What does that line mean?
Protects the poor.
No, that's Adama, Janara, Bandhu. Lokanatha, Lokira, Jivana. What does that mean, that line? In the translation? And the Lord, yeah, Lord and Master, it says there, Lord and Master of the devotees. Lokera, Lokanath, Lokera. Yeah, Lokanath, Lokera, Jivana. He's the Lord and Master of all the devotees, like that. So that name can mean for any guru, because Lokanath, Lokera, Jivana means for any guru can be called Lokanath, means he protects all devotees. But his guru's name was also Lokanath Goswami. He was an associate of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan before the six Goswamis, and then he was one of the associates of the six Goswamis. That's all. Any other question or comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.